Good morning. Welcome to Crossing. We're glad you're with us today. We're beginning a new series. It's a mini-series called Reach. And we're asking, starting with this thought, how many of you know of someone who needs to experience the hope and the love that comes from Jesus? And knowing that we know those people, why is it that Jesus gives us a mandate in Matthew 28:19 to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey the commands of Christ? But yet it's difficult for us as followers of Christ to do that. Sometimes we are afraid. We think we might be too pushy. Sometimes we think that, you know, we don't know if we're going to be rejected. Maybe they'll reject us. We hesitate to share our faith. And we wonder, how do we do this? How do we share what God wants us to share? This mission that he has asked us to reach. Think of this. How many of you remember the time and the day that you received Christ as your Savior? You remember that experience? I was thinking back over this in preparations, and I was reminded of a time when Eli accepted Christ as his Savior. He came to us and he was talking. He said, you know what? I want to know Jesus. I want him to take. And he said, what does it mean to have Jesus in your heart? And so Mandy sits down and she shares with him. She says, well, buddy, it's your sin. There's bad in our heart. And when you ask Jesus to come in as your Savior, he comes in and he takes all the bad away. And he was about 5 years old. Harrison's about a year and a half under him. And Harrison's standing there. He said, so we can pray and Jesus will take all your bad away. And before we could pray, Harrison goes, Jesus ain't taking my bag away. We all laughed. And it's kind of a running joke. Jesus ain't going to take your bag away, but he'll take your bad away. Amen. And so you look at this series. We have these memories, these thoughts. But when you look at this process, how do we do this? What is the mission? What is the mandate? What has God asked us to do? In Matthew chapter 5, we see this written out, and it says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out, trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one can lights a lamp and puts it in under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So we see this, that we are commissioned by Jesus to go into all the world and do what? Share this command. He's commanding us, go. It's not a suggestion. It's not a, hey, if you would like to. He says, go. It's a command to you as a believer to be the salt, to be the light in the earth. But yet there's this disconnect we have inside. How do we do this? How do we accomplish the command? Today we're going to talk about three ways that I believe you already have within your grasp to begin this process in your life, to fulfill the Great Commission. Oftentimes we think of these great schemes, but we don't realize what we have is already within us. And the first one we look at is invest, to use what you have. We think of these great illustrations and these great ways of, I got to learn the Romans road. There's certain things I have to do. But the reality is, you are where you are. God has a plan for your life. You're following him. He is going to give you all the tools you need to accomplish what he's asking you to accomplish. He's not going to put you out there and ask you to do something that he's not already prepared you for. So you don't realize you have what it takes, and you use what you have. In fact, the very first way we ever saw the gospel spread was in the story of Levi. Now, Levi also is known as Matthew, the same one we saw that just was a disciple of Christ and just wrote, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. This is Levi that's speaking. He's showing this to us. It's writing through Christ, through God, in Revelation. But we see this. He gets saved. He comes to him. Let's look in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, we see, it says, later as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet at his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors, other guests, ate with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? And Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call those, not I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. So when Jesus saved Levi's life, here's what happened. He simply couldn't contain himself. So what did he do? He did what he needed to do. He threw a party. He said, let's get a banquet. I want everybody to meet this man who has changed my life. I want everybody to know this man who has changed everything about me. My life is completely changed. And when you think about it, Matthew, also known as Levi, he didn't know anything about how to share his faith. All he knew was how to throw a party. So what did he do? That's exactly what he did. In the same way, you can simply use what you have to reach those around you. Use the gifts, the talents, the things that come naturally already to reach people. What is in your hand? Do you have a boat? Invite somebody to go on a boat with you. Share with them. Spend life with them. Invest in them. Do you have season tickets? Share them with somebody. Invest in their lives. Can you cook? Some of you, that's a great gift you have. You know what? Invite someone over. Cook for them. Spend time with them. Invest in their life. When you begin to invest in them, it opens up opportunities for them to experience God. Do you have extra time? That's something that's a commodity in this day and age, isn't it? We pack our days full. And so when you give people a little extra time, what happens? It shows that you value them. It shows that you value time with them. You invest. And when you invest, you're simply using what you have within your hands. What do you have within your hands? Growing up, I loved football. That was one of the things I wanted to do. I wanted to be a football coach. That was my whole dream and aspiration. But God shifted that and called me into the ministry. And it wasn't my plans. It wasn't what I wanted to do. But I loved football. I wanted to do that. I didn't want to pass it on to my kids. I didn't want to force them to do anything. But around the second grade, Eli had come to me and said, I want to play football. I want to play football and everything. I was like, well, okay. So I originally signed up just simply to... I signed him up, and I wasn't going to coach at all. It's just going to help. And they said, well, we don't have a coach for your team. If he has to play, you're going to have to coach. And I remember thinking, that's not what I want to do. And I really don't want to do that because that's a time commitment. You following me? It's like, I don't want to give that time. It's like, well, it's for my son. So I started doing it for my son. But over time, what happened is we developed into a family. And we started reaching different families, just using time, spending time together. And I found ourselves, I'll never forget one night, Mandy would always be like, why are you spending so much time? Like, why are you coming home so late? Silas is laughing because he was with us. And I was like, we're just talking. She's like, what? I was like, after practice, we're connecting. We're just having a good time. And you know, we begin to build that family. We begin to now join together. And it was interesting because I wasn't doing anything with purpose. I didn't think, you know, in my mind, just being real, I was just simply doing what I needed to do to help my kid. But in helping my kid, I found a new family. I found kids that were part of our family. And can I tell you something? Nothing warms my heart more than to see in worship this front row, many of these boys who are on this team, in this picture, serving God, seeking Him. Why? It wasn't because I did anything special. It's just I simply used what God had. And I said, let's go be a part. Let's live life together. You see, sometimes we overcomplicate this. We think it's so hard. I just can't. What is already in your schedule? What is already with you? What do you have in your hands that you could already use to help invest in someone else's life? Because when you begin to invest, what happens? It opens doors for God to begin to work inside of them. The second one we want to look at today is to invite. And simply invite someone to church. Invite them to experience God. Now, you may have the opportunity as connecting with them. Maybe the opportunity will arise where you can invite them into a relationship with God. But more times than not, it's simply just a simple invitation to say, hey, would you come to church with me? If you've invested time in them and you show them you care, guess what? They're more apt to experience and do that. A study by Barna Research Group did it basically wanting to discover how many people, when asked, would go to church. Did you realize that their research found that 85% of people, when simply invited to come to church, went? 85%. But yet we live with this fear expecting that they're all going to send. What's the worst they could say? No. Does that change anything? It shouldn't. Because if you're investing and you care for them and you're developing a relationship with them, then at the right time, they will be up to go. They will be wanting to go with you. But simply investing in them and showing them you here, using what you have, and then giving them the opportunity, invite them, gives them that experience that God has for them. Look in John chapter 4. We see a great story, a powerful story about a woman who experienced a lot of hurt in her life. And then Jesus met her and changed her. Look at John chapter 4, beginning of verse 28. This is the story of the woman in the well. It says, "Then the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, 'Come and see a man who told me everything I did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?' So the people came streaming from the village to see him." Now, ask yourself this question. What did she do? What did she do? She didn't memorize a scripture, did she? She didn't give some grand and glorious message to all the people. She didn't complicate things. She simply, what? Invited them. Come see a man. Could this be the Messiah? A man who changed my life. A man who showed me everything I did and now has given me not just water from the well, but living water that I'll never thirst again. Come see this man. And what happened? People came. And what happened? People's lives were changed simply because she invited someone. You think about it. Who do you see in class that's hurting? Who in your job you know is going through a hard time? Which neighbor do you see that you can tell is living with a lot of pain and suffering in their life? How hard would it be to simply invest in them? Invite them for dinner. Go eat lunch with them. Do something to show you care and simply then what? Invite them. Say, "Hey, no pressure. If you have a chance, I'd love for you to come to church with me." And maybe, you know what? In that situation you're dealing with, you might have the opportunity to share Christ with them in your story. And that, guess what happened? That impacts them in the other way and could draw them into a relationship with Christ. But think of it. One invitation could be all it takes to change a life. Not multiples, one. One invitation could be all it takes to save a life. Because you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And God could use you to lead someone to Christ. That's why. You are the salt. God has plans. Now, how will he do it? Well, when you invest, you use what you have. Invite someone to church. And the third one is to share your story. You see, as you invest in people and you invite them to church, you begin to share your story. Because there's power in a story. There's power in stories when you begin to hear what it is. Look at me in John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, we see that Jesus had healed a blind man. They were sitting there and they were he was sitting at the gate and he needed God to come in and he couldn't see. So Jesus walks in and he begins to heal this man. And everybody went crazy because he had been blind from birth. They assumed it was sin in his parents' life that had caused it. But they knew he had been blinded from birth. And so Jesus comes in, heals him, and he even explains, "No, this man is healed for no other reason, for this purpose, to bring glory and honor to God." And so we see this happen. Here they are. This blind man is healed. He begins to do what? He shares. Shares his story. I know we have strobe lights going on here. They're working on it. He shares his story. Okay. He says, "This is the story I have. This is what God has said. I was blind, but now I see. I don't know anything else, but what I do know is the power of God came in and healed my body. I couldn't see. I've been blind since birth." So what happens? The Pharisees, they call him in. They say, "Hey, we need to talk about this. There's an issue here." So what happened? They bring him in. The Pharisees call him in John chapter 9, verse 24. It says, "So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and told him, 'God should get glory for all this because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner.' And here's what the man replies. He says, 'I don't know that. I don't know whatever he is. I don't know whether he is a sinner,' the man replied, 'but I know this.'" He said, "I was blind and now I see." "But what did he do to you?" they asked. "How did he heal you?" What does the man say? He says, "Look, I told you, you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples? I mean, yeah, it's kind of a funny thing. He says, is this what you want? I mean, they get mad at him. What? No, no, we're followers of Abraham. You know, we're children of Abraham. You know, we follow Moses' law. We don't do this. And they're like, no, we can't. And there's this disconnect. And the man's saying, I don't really care about all the pharmaceutical ideas. I don't care about all the religious jargon. All I can tell you is I was blind and now I see. If you're wanting to know more, are you trying to be his disciples? What do you want from me? I don't know. Jesus touched my body. I'm healed. You see, when you begin to share your story, when you begin to share what God's done in your life, it impacts people. I know some of you think, well, I don't have a story. I don't have much of a story. That's not true. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a story. Even if your story is, I was saved and from a young age all the way through, and God, that's a miraculous story. In this day and age, that's hard to live. I remember my story. I was turning five. I was about 5 years old, and my parents had moved from Arkansas, where I was born and raised. They moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we lived there, and that transition was very extremely difficult for me. My dad was a music minister at the time, and he was ministering in the church, and my mom would tell me the stories how I would literally cry every single day. I want to go home. This isn't home. Why are we here? And then when it was time for church, I would fight. I just fight her and say, Mom, I want to go home. I don't want to be here. And I remember this as a kid. My dad was shaving one morning, and I was pulling on him. Dad, I want to go home. I don't want to go to this church. I don't want to be here. I want to go home. And he said, Son, I didn't want to go in the army. He said, but God, I had no choice. I had to go to the army. And I said, Dad, what's the army? You know, I didn't comprehend that. But I was just about 5 years old, and I had gone to church. I was crying and fighting, and in the children's lesson that day, I went to the normal. I came home, and I went to sleep. And when I woke up from the nap, everything changed. I had this peace in my heart. My mom came to me. She said, what happened? Like, what's wrong? Like, what? Why are you, why, it can see. So I said, I got to tell you something. I said, Mom, when I was asleep, I could see Jesus. I was in heaven. Well, I was like, okay, 5-year-old. She said, really, what did you see? I said, well, there's this gold path. And we walked on this gold path. She's like, oh, okay. I said, then there's this water. I said, and Jesus was there, and Peter, I saw Peter. We were all playing there in the water. We were fishing. And Mom's like, okay. She said, what color was the water? And I was 5, so I was still learning my colors. And I was like, she said, was it blue? I was like, no. She said, well, what color? I said, I don't know. It was white, which she knew would be clear. She said, huh. She says, what happened next? I said, well, Jesus took me, and he brought me up, and I sat with God, and God just wrapped his arms around me, and he loved me, and told me everything's going to be okay. And my mom was like, okay. So she, as every loving mother would do, immediately called my Sunday school teacher. What did you teach on today? You know, like, tell me it was heaven and tell me this, you know, this is this imagination I had. And anyway, the teacher's like, we talked on Dorcas. Mom's like, that's okay. And she came back and talked to me. And I said, Mom, I don't know, but I want to know Jesus. I want Jesus in my heart. And I remember accepting Jesus as my Savior and saying that peace, that joy that I wanted, that I felt from knowing him, I want that to live in my life. And throughout my life, I've served him. I've had challenges along the way. There's been temptations. The devil has fought me in all different ways, and I'm not here to say that I'm perfect by any means, but by God's grace, I can stand before you today and say, God has guided me in my life. He's helped me thus far. And by his grace, he'll lead me on. But I remember that to this day. There's not a lot I remember at that age. It was a few years ago. But I can still remember that moment because it was special. Some of you, that moment for you may have been later on in life. Maybe you've gone through trials and tribulations. You grew up a totally different way. But by God's grace, He drew you to a relationship with Him. You felt the Holy Spirit speak to your life. Maybe you've grown up experiencing God. But the reality is this, the same God that saves you at 5 is the same God that saves you at 40, 50, 70, 80. It doesn't matter. The same love, the same peace that I felt at 5 is the same peace you feel or could feel today. When you accept Him as your heart, it changes you. Can I tell you something? That same peace, that changes things. Sometimes in a world that's full of chaos, people want to hear stories of truth, stories of peace, good stories with good things, encouraging. And when you begin to accept and you share your story, God begins to come in and work in their life. Because here's what you have to understand. You don't save people. There's no memorization of scripture. There's no road, Romans road, you can quote. There's nothing, no street witnessing. You don't save people. They are only saved by the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes in and changes their life. But let me tell you this, don't mistake that God doesn't use you in that process. Yes, He is the one who draws them in, but He commissioned you to go. He commissioned you to do your part. He commissioned you to reach those who are hurting, to invest and invite and share with them the love of Christ, that they can know and experience Him. So what can you do? Invest. Use what you have. What do you have? Maybe it's a sport. Maybe you love sport. Maybe there's something you can do that can connect. But what is in your toolbox already that you can use? The second thing is you begin to invite. Invite someone to church. Easter's coming. We just told you 85% of people say yes. Why not invite one? That one invitation, think about it, could be the very same thing that changes someone's life. And last, share your story. When the opportunity is right, share your story. Let people know what God has done for you. So I ask you this morning, who's your one? Who is your one that you're going to invest in? Who's your one you're going to invite over the next couple weeks? 2 weeks from now, 2 Sundays from now, will be Easter Sunday. We're going to be opening with a new series. It's called Asking for a Friend. We're going to hit on some of the topics that we don't want to talk about, that we struggle with in life. And we're going to incorporate it into a salvation message where people can experience and know. And in this series, we're going to talk about tough issues that we deal with, like time management. How many could use help there? I know I could. Does the scripture talk about it? Absolutely. If we put things in priority, what's the number one priority should be in our life? It's Him. And we're going to lay out some of the leadership principles, but also apply them to practical teaching that draws people to a relationship with Christ. Why? Because we're strategically placing this so that you can bring friends that need Jesus, family members that need Jesus. Who is your one? Who are you going to ask? Say, hey, because can I tell you something? Everybody in this world faces challenges, just like you do. Can you imagine living life without the hope of Jesus? If you're living life here today and you don't have Him as your Savior, it's tough, isn't it? But having Jesus to come in and strengthen you, to give you peace in the midst of storms, to strengthen you when you're going through hard times, there's nothing like it. And you have the opportunity this week, who's your one? I want you to begin to pray for that one this week. I want you to begin to invest in them this week and see what God can do. I want you to close your eyes and reflect today. If you're here today, we never close the service without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you're here, and maybe you have been walking this road, you've been living this life, and you're tired and you're weary, and you need help. You need God to strengthen you. Maybe it's been, you've accepted Him at one time, but life has gotten in the way, and you've just walked away. And you know that Satan has just been beating you up, and you need Jesus to come in and dwell in your heart. And if you're here today and you don't know Him as your personal Savior, or you want to rededicate your life to Him today, we want to give you that opportunity. Can I tell you, it's a peace that I experienced at a young age. And that same peace that I experienced is there for you today. And if you're here today and don't know Jesus as your Savior, or you want to rededicate your life to Him with no one looking around, we're not going to embarrass you, call you out. We're going to pray with you right where you are. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I just want you to make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you right where you are. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Anybody else? You said, hey, I want to commit my life to Him. Amen. Anybody else? I want to dedicate my life to Him. Amen. Anybody else? God. Anyone else before we close? Let's pray. In Romans chapter 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that He is Lord, then you're saved. The confession comes in a prayer. We're going to lead you in just a moment. You confess your sins and ask God to come into your life. The belief is the actions you live after. It's saying, okay, now I choose to follow You. I choose to walk in Your way. But I'm asked that we all pray together today. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, then let it be a reminder for what God's done in you, and also to encourage with others that are praying it for the first time or rededicating. But let's all join together and let's pray this prayer of faith, if you would, with me. Say, dear Jesus, I come to You today and I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I believe that You died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And I want to do one thing before we close up. Is this. Who's your one? Don't walk out of this room without knowing your one that you're praying for, that you're going to invest in, that you're going to invite. You got 2 weeks. You know what? People will still come to church not on Easter Sunday, right? What happens if they say no? We'll talk about that next week. How do we push forward when we're worried and this? How do we overcome this? But begin praying. Who is your one? Maybe you have two. Maybe you have three. Praise God. You need to have at least one, because you were commissioned by God. He said, go into all the world. Go. How do we do it? Use what you have. Invite someone. Share your story. And see God begin to work. And recognize the pressure's off you. It's on Him. He's the one who changes lives, not you. But as you're obedient, He'll be obedient. I want to pray right now as we close. And here's what I want you to do. As I pray, I want you to begin to pray for your one right now. The one that you're going to begin praying for. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. But just pray for them. and allow God to begin to work. Because can I tell you something? When the Holy Spirit starts working in their heart, that's when life change happens. So let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift you up today. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge that you've given us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, to make disciples that they can know you, they can experience you. Lord, I pray today for each and every person here. I pray for their one. Lord, as they are calling out their one, as they are thinking in their mind of their one today that they're going to begin to invest in, the one that they're going to begin to invite, or the one that they're going to share their story with, or the one that you would begin just to work in their lives, the people that they are calling out to you right now, that you'd begin to work in their hearts and their spirits and let them know that you care for them, that you have a plan for their lives. Father, we praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor and glory for what you have in store for this week, Lord, for next week, for the lives that are going to be changed, going to be changed by reaching out to the one and showing them the way, the truth, and the life. And that is you. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen.